Hello, friends, and welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle on 1150 AM. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. As I mentioned during the first hour, I'll be going back to Mount Shasta twice this year from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd. We always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying around the mountain, and we always meet Adama people of Telos in the hollow earth. We also have been experiencing many miracle healings. My eyesight was restored to perfectly clear, crystal clear 2010 eyesight in September of last year after Adama and the people of Telos gave me a healing. Others have been healed of Lyme disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, and one lady was even given a new pair of legs so she could walk again in 2017. The cost is just $200. And if you'd like to go, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Real quick, I know that your good thoughts can help people heal people. And I'd like to ask for a healing for my friend Phil in Idaho, who recently broke his knee, and you can send him lots of love and light so he'll feel better and heal. My friend Donna in Los Angeles for a recent, for another knee surgery she had. And to send lots of love and light to both Phil and Pawnee in Idaho for their kitty cat who passed away recently. And to Nicholas in New Jersey who lost his sweetheart in May. Thank you so much, everyone. I know that love and light will really help them. I have a message from President Kennedy. He says that we're all connected, and he said that what you do to your neighbor, you do to yourself. So please treat each other with love and respect. And I know if we all work together, we'll be able to create a much better and happier world. With that, I'd like to bring on my good friend, Joe Anthony. He's a fantastic astrologist. Joe, how are you doing there?
I'm doing well, Ted. I'm doing well.
Good, my friend. Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to say some nice things about you. You're a leading psychic and professional astrologer for more than 20 years. You've been featured on countless television and radio programs and been the choice of many noted athletes and celebrities. He will help people understand the importance of your soul and comprehend the symbols of the subconscious through the use of astrology. From an early age, you knew you're born with a gift. You recognize your ability to see, hear, and feel things beyond normal comprehension, and an insightful awareness that some may call extraordinary sensory perception. He enjoys helping guide his clients to understand who they are, what talents they may possess, and the challenges they may encounter in their life. His websites are planetswithin.com and josephanthony.com. And Joe, it's so good to have you on my show. Thanks for coming on today. I'm really happy you're here.
Well, thank you, Ted. I appreciate it. Always nice being on your show. If I may just correct something, it's josephpanthony.com.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is because, a P there. Sorry.
josephanthony.com is a hairdresser in like Delaware somewhere.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't do hair. You're going to get
no, I don't
yeah,
do
okay.
hair. Sorry.
Yeah, you don't do hair. Well, I'll just repeat it. It's Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, P as in Paul, and then Anthony, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y.com. So,
awesome. Thank you.
Tell me about what's going on astrologically right now. You said off air that there were like five or six planets retrograde. Isn't that unusual? And what kind of effect does that have upon us?
Sure. Well, you know, there are planets that go retrograde all the time, especially the outer planets, because they move so slow that they drop back from our perspective here. But to have the inner planets and the outer planets retrograde at the same time is usually big, because that's a lot of energy that's pulling upon the Earth's magnetic fields. And so what happens is every few years or so, there's more than four planets that go retrograde. So five planets, six planets is a little bit more rare, but it does happen. So with six planets, we just came out of six planets being retrograde. Venus just came out of its retrograde yesterday, and it's been retrograde for 42 days. And so now we have five planets that are retrograde. Mercury and Pluto, Jupiter, and Saturn are all retrograde, plus Neptune. So these outer planets are sort of like the anchor of the energy. And it's been really heavy, and it's very draining, especially when Venus is retrograde, because Venus represents partnerships, and it represents money. Mercury, we know, is retrograde. That's usually about the thinking and the communication. And with the outer planets in retrograde in Capricorn, it just feels like the heavy weight of the world is on our shoulders. In other words, the responsibility. And everyone's focusing on governments and, you know, the politics and what's going on in the world, because Capricorn represents that. So the energy feels heavier than normal. And not to mention, we're also going through the sign of Cancer right now. The sun is in Cancer, Mercury's in Cancer. And these are, Cancer is the sign that has to do with emotion and needing nurturing and security. And so we're kind of in limbo right now with these five planets retrograde and the energy of Cancer in the mix. It's like all we want to do is either stay home or find things that make us feel safe and secure. And I'm talking about the average person, you know, and how it's affecting them. So right. On top of that, we also have, we just had a solar eclipse about 5 or 6 days ago in the sign of Cancer. And this is big because the United States is a Cancer nation. We were born in 1776 on July the 4th. And what's so interesting, Ted, is that we will have a lunar eclipse on the birthday of the United States in about a week or so, which is a Capricorn full moon lunar eclipse. So this is going to be the third eclipse in 2 months, which is very significant. So what it's indicating is this is a turning point that's happening here in the United States. So
really? On a personal interesting.
Level, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
And if I could ask you further, for people who don't know what retrogrades are, what does that mean? People ask me that all the time. So,
well, just look at the word retro. What does retro imply? It means going back, you know, going back in time. And the way I would describe it, like many astrologers would, when a planet goes retrograde, it drops behind the Earth because of its speed and whatnot. And the only way we can equate it or help people to understand it, imagine two trains running side by side. And one train starts to move ahead, and the other one starts to drop back. That train that's dropping back would be considered the retrograde, you see? And it's the same concept in astrology and astronomy. It, when a plane when a planet goes retrograde, it's dropping behind the Earth's, you know, behind the Earth. So its energy is not moving forward. It's not full capacity, so to speak.
Okay. I know that when Mercury goes retrograde, and that you get a lot of miscommunications, and it's difficult to sometimes a lot of things mess up and things don't go as well as they should. Is Mercury in retrograde now, Joe? And how long will it last if it is?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It started on the 18th of June, and it will last all the way through July the 11th. And just to show you, I want to give you an example of how strange the retrogrades are. I have three smoke alarms in my house here, and one of them just kept going off and was acting really weird. So I decided to pull the battery out and thinking that would go away, and it still kept chirping. All right, so finally I pulled the whole thing out. I disconnected it completely, and it was still chirping with no battery and no power connected to it. I was like, what the?
That's amazing. That is amazing, Joe. Yeah, that's amazing. Wow. Well, all these planets that are retrograde right now, could you list them, please, and briefly explain what influences they're having upon people on the planet now?
Sure. The Mercury retrograde is causing a lot of confusion with people's emotions and feelings. And we're feeling very nostalgic because it's in the sign of Cancer. So many people are thinking about their childhood memories. They're thinking about their family. They're thinking about the United States and where they used to live and anything related to the sign of Cancer. So that's the first one. All right.
Okay.
The second planet that's retrograde is Jupiter, which is in Capricorn, symbolically representing our purpose and our drive. But it also represents karma and what we're needing to learn right now. Pluto is also retrograde right next to it. They're in conjunction, as a matter of fact. And Pluto is about sort of transformation and transforming things from the deepest level. It's in the sign of Capricorn, which is government and agencies and corporations. So it's no wonder that we're seeing all this destruction that's happening around the country here and the world, matter of fact, because there have been some protests worldwide as well. And Saturn is retrograde, and it's in the last degrees of Aquarius, and in the next week or so, it will retrograde back into Capricorn as well. So we have it now, we have this trio of outer planets in Capricorn that are going to continue to transform government agencies, the corporate mindset, the financial system. This is all changing right before our eyes.
Wow.
So we'll see this unfold. And then the last planet that's retrograde is Neptune. Neptune is in Pisces, the sign of spirituality and mysticism. And I wrote about it in my newsletter, when Neptune goes retrograde, we tend to go within and we become more fantasy prone, or we have a lot more doubt and there's a little bit more confusion. Our imagination is really, it's fertile, but it's really dreamy and unrealistic in expectations.
Uh-huh.
And so that will stay retrograde for about 5 months like that, you know. So when we have five planets retrograding and each one of them sort of vibrating at a different rate, they're doing different things to us. But for the most part, overview of what's happening right now, at least until the middle of July, is confusion, emotion, lack of drive, feeling restless, just anger issues or sadness of some kind.
Right.
This is what it's reflecting. I mean, we could see it in society today.
Mm-hmm.
So at least Mercury will come out of retrograde on July the 11th, which will help with some clarity, but it won't really feel better until Mercury comes out of Cancer, because it doesn't do well in Cancer. It basically is trying to rationalize its thoughts, and Cancer is not really good at vocalizing its thoughts. It's about emotion. So I see after the 11th of July, all the way through the summer months, I think we'll have a better time and feel much better from that perspective. But then there's one other little thing that's coming up in September. Mars goes retrograde.
Oh, really?
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. On the 9th
when,
of September,
when is that?
Mars.
When does Mars goes retrograde?
Mars goes retrograde on September the 9th all the way through November the 14th in the sign of Aries, the sign that it rules. Now, this one's going to be a tricky one because, once again, we're talking about motivation, drive, determination. And so what I see with that period of time is a lot more confusion. I see issues again with the government or, corporate and maybe some more clashes and all that other nonsense that's been going on around the country.
Right.
I think we'll see more of that, especially as we get closer to the election. I think we'll see more, stuff that's coming out just bickering and maybe arguments and conflict, unfortunately, because Mars is about battle. It's about war. It's about, challenges. And so when it goes retrograde, it tends to be quirky and act erratic.
If we wanted to ameliorate these conflicts and create peace and harmony on the earth, how could you just do that for prayer, meditation? What do you recommend if you're going into a place, into a time astrologically when the planets, this energy's there to create, to create conflict? How do you ameliorate that? How do you counteract that?
Well, this is what I do, and I advise my clients, is to remember who you really are. Even though the planets are, at their frequency and they're affecting us physically, is when you rise above it and you realize that you are just a spirit or an energy or consciousness in a physical suit having an experience, and that you spend time in nature. You know, I live in Sedona, so every night when the sun goes down and it's cooler, I'm able to go out, ride my bike, take a walk, and I just remind myself of who I really am, and it's just really back in touch with who you really are. Your essence is the source. It is, you're connected to something much bigger and larger, and it's a constant battle. Life is a constant battle between your mind and your heart. That's what I've come to realize. And the one that's really in charge is your heart. Your heart knows because it's got a higher vibration and it connects to the pulse of the universe. Your mind is a processor, a fantastic processor, but all it wants to do is figure things out. It wants to, figure equations out and figure out emotions and figure out things here and there. And, it thinks it knows it all, But if you go out into nature and you meditate. And I'm not suggesting sitting there for hours at a time in some sort of Buddhist monk posture. I'm talking about going out there for 15, 20 minutes a day, either early in the morning before it gets too hot, depending on where you live, or at night before you go to sleep, and just literally getting in alignment with the source within you, because everything happens within you. So when you meditate, you go, I'm so grateful for all the experiences in my life. I realize I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I'll do the best I can. Everything will work itself out as it always does. And this is what I say to myself, Ted.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good, Joe. I have to ask you, beyond this time, you said till November 14th when Mars goes retrograde, what do you see after that into next year?
Well, there appears to be some good news coming in December. December of this year, we have a solar eclipse in the sign of Sagittarius, okay? And I see this as a positive because Sagittarius is usually optimistic and upbeat, and you know, it has a lot to do with philosophy and religion, and it has to do with government, the law, all of that stuff. And so I would say look for some major announcement that takes place in the month of December, because I'm feeling like, you know, something major is going to awaken us or tell us something, and it could come from the government. I don't know. It's very possible, depending on what happens with the election. There's some sort of change coming to our government here in the United States. And so, of course, it may have a ripple effect into the other parts of the world. But one of the things I've always been sensing intuitively that we all know that the financial system is changing, okay? The dollar around the world is being ignored. And, you know, we know there's a new system that's about to come online. It's just a matter of how and when. And so I think it's related to that. And I've always sensed that somehow the income tax and the laws, and maybe they're going to change it, go to a flat tax where everybody pays the same percentage depending on your tax bracket, or that they were going to eliminate the taxes in some way, you know, like because we know that the IRS is really an agency that shouldn't really exist technically. But I feel like it's something to do with that.
I see.
So there may be some announcement. Maybe the employee taxes will be lifted, like Mr. Trump has been talking about or has hinted about it over the years. I mean, over the months. So it could be something along those lines. But whatever it is, Ted, going into next year, we have some alignments that are really going to shake things up. And that has to do with Uranus, the planet of innovation and change, which is in Taurus, the sign of money. And it will be squaring Saturn and Jupiter in the sign of Aquarius. So these are significant alignments in astrology. They're saying something huge is going to shake things up. And so that's going to start happening in the beginning of February of next year. So we're in for some really interesting times with regards to the financial picture. I think it is really financial that I'm seeing here that's going to really change in some significant way.
Interesting. I was speaking with Nostradamus, President Kennedy, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Thomas Jefferson, and Ben Franklin about a month ago, and they all told me that they would love to change places with us here to experience what's happening. And they said that you're in for an exciting time, and we do have a very bright and beautiful future. They all had the same message, irregardless of which master I spoke with, that they all had the same, roughly the same message from their own perspective on things, which I thought was really, really comforting to get.
Yeah. I could see that, Ted, because I've had visions now for quite a while about society. In around the years 2024, 2025, humanity seems to be much happier. Okay? And I really got that feeling that something big was going to happen, whether it's happening by government, you know, removing taxes or a new honest system or some significant change or event that takes place that literally makes humanity feel better. Or they seem more content. They're not arguing and not bickering as much. And, of course, it could involve UFOs and ETs because that's right around the corner as well. But you know, maybe they're interacting more with humanity and they're talking about history of the Earth. But I know it involves that as well. So in the next couple of years, we're living in exciting times, no doubt about it. And if you understand the bigger picture, you will embrace some of these changes that need to happen, whether it's politically, socially, economically. And I'm not talking about going out and rioting. I'm talking about really paying attention to what's really going on.
Sure.
And so, I think we're in for happier times. But first, we have to go through, you know, a little bit of a rough patch.
Right. Well, that's certainly good news. And that dovetails to what the great spirits have told me, too, that we would be shifting into the fifth dimension here. Actually, Mount Shasta is supposed to shift into the fifth dimension by the end of next week, and I'll be there. And when I'm there, they tell me I will be able to meet Adama personally. I mean, not in the astral plane, but physically. And other people of Telos as well. So it's going to be an amazing experience. And then driving from the Seattle area south to Mount Shasta, I will be driving. It's third dimension here, but Shasta's fifth, so that it'll be taking a car from third dimension in driving through fourth and then quickly into fifth at Shasta. And that should be an amazing experience. And they tell me it's the only planet in the entire universe undergoing that right now. And all eyes are on this planet to see what happens.
Yes. And you know what's so amazing, Ted, and I love the synchronicity when it occurs. I've been getting the same message about going to Mount Shasta.
Really?
That you just mentioned it, and it almost gave me goosebumps because, I've got an RV, and I'm planning on doing some traveling in July and August as soon as I can free up some time. And the area that I got called to, in 1 week, I got Mount Shasta. You know, I'm talking to people, and all of a sudden the word Mount Shasta comes out, or I see it somewhere. You know, and then you mentioned it just now. It's very interesting that you mentioned that.
Well, you're welcome to join me out there if you like. I'll be there July 1st through the 8th, and then again from August 27th to September 3rd. And if you want to save gas on your RV, I could get a hold of my friends in the Galactic Alliance and ask them to beam you up and then beam you down to the mountain. And they give you a return. It's free, and you'll get there very quick, just a few minutes.
So, that would be great. Anyway. That would be wonderful. Well, I was planning on going up there. It looked like it was going to be August. So, but I do have some travel plans for July to go to Lake Tahoe, towards the end of July. So who knows? Maybe I'll shoot up there, depending on how it goes, given some of these shutdowns and regulations and so on. So I'm just playing everything by ear right now.
Sure. Right. Well, I want to ask you too, a little bit further out, past 2025. What do you see happening from an astrological perspective?
One of the things that is going to happen is something to do with technology. Technology is going to be released, or some innovation is going to be released that is really going to start freeing humanity up from our dependence on oil and all this other artificial crap. Because we have the technology. Many of your listeners, I'm sure, know we have the technology. We don't need gas vehicles. We don't need to, heat our homes with all kinds of propane and whatnot. We have the technology to bypass all of that. And I'm seeing a jump in technology after 2025 that is just incredible.
In
all areas. Not just computing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have quantum computing. We have, computers that are super fast. Mm-hmm. And it's just not being released yet. And we have all this, hologram technology and all of that stuff. I mean, we're going to see more and more of that being implemented. But I think the greatest technology that's coming is the awareness of who we really are. In other words, we're not this conscious body. I mean, we're the consciousness inside the body, but we're not the body. And because of the vibration changing, we will begin to see dimensional beings or understand the other realities that are just inside of us that we can't fully comprehend or understand in with just the five senses. So we may have some technology that enhances that. Right now we have you know, drugs that could do that, like the psychedelics and mushrooms and ayahuasca.
Right, but right.
Imagine if you had the technology to just put a device on your head or, you know, look through mm-hmm. it, and all of a sudden mm-hmm. you are seeing other dimensions of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be wild?
You know? That would be wild. So, yeah, it'd be out of this yeah. world, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the kind of technology I'm seeing mm-hmm. happening after 2025.
Right, wow.
You know, and of course the ET UFO stuff is going to be, should be out in the open at that point, where we're going to see all kinds of strange craft that we've never seen before.
Well, so, I think for a lot of people, if you know what you're looking for, Joe, you can see the craft up in the sky tonight, even if you walked out. I mean, for example, the Palladian craft, the commander's craft, the mothership, it's in the form of a triangle with a big bright white light in the middle of it. Other different civilizations have other power systems and different configuration, but that's one I know. The other craft I'm familiar with is from the Ceres, part of the Galactic Alliance, and they're a circular craft, kind of a series of dots around with another big bright white light in the middle. But they're all here, and one of the things too, if you do stargazing, and we do quite a bit of that at Mount Shasta, where we'll go up to the top of the mountain as best as we could, and then we focus in on the craft up there. We've had a lot of fun with the Palladian craft, because what we do, we contact them telepathically, and then, like, for example, I'll ask them to move left. We do this little dance, and then they move left, and then I ask them to move right, and they move right, and then up, and then down, and then the commander of one of the ships beamed himself down, Admiral Halosaurus, last July, and we could see him kind of ephemerally in the campfire light. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Interesting.
He said,
"Wow, that's spectacular."
Who are all these Earthlings bothering us anyway? I've got to go down and investigate.
Well, exactly. But we had an incident last week. Me and my friends here in Sedona were out in the backyard, and it's about 6:37 o'clock at night, and we see a large glowing red object just in the distance. You know, and we know, I mean, we've been studying UFOs for a long time and very knowledgeable about the sky. And we're looking at it going, that's not a helicopter. It's not moving. That's not a plane. Mm-hmm. It's not moving, because the light was not flashing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we quickly got the binoculars out. We started recording it. And sure enough, it was not a plane. It was not a helicopter. And it was in broad daylight. And it stood there for about a good, almost a minute. And then all of a sudden, it shot right down into the earth. And I mean, like 100, not 100 miles, about 100 miles an hour. It just shot right down into the earth
as if
it reconnected with something, you know?
So
we didn't know what the...
Yeah, there's lots of different extraterrestrial civilizations out there, Joe. And thank you so much for sharing that with me. If you focus in on that particular vessel, for example, and you got a good feeling, they're probably benevolent. If you focused in on it and you didn't get a good feeling, they probably weren't benevolent. What feeling did you get from the craft? Neutral? Good? Bad?
It was very neutral. We didn't feel threatened at all. And, you know, if I encounter anything, of course, it's all going to be telepathically. But we got a neutral. It was more like a drone ship. Or a beam of light that was just investigating something, or it was probably mechanical, or, you know, it wasn't a life form of some kind per se. It almost felt like it was a machine of some kind, you know, that was being guided.
Sure. Normally, if you see an extraterrestrial, a UFO out in the sky, and it's got what's called a red shift, that's from mercury-based propulsion systems used by the reptilians. I saw a mothership, 15 years ago, over the hills. It was an Army testing range in Yakima, Washington. Huge. I mean, it was massive. It had gone on for maybe 10, 15 miles. I didn't get a good feeling from it. But it sounds like this one was okay. You mentioned the red color. That's typically, they use a red propulsion system, which turns the ship red, red shift. But.
Okay. That's good to know. We didn't get any bad feelings about it. And it was so obvious. All three of us were standing there. Who had the camera? I had the binoculars. And we were just looking at this thing. And it was just more like, doing some sort of testing or something of that nature, and then it just shot right down. And it wasn't, you know, a drone, something that we have, because it had no wings, it had nothing on it. It was just this. It wasn't, the light wasn't even pulsing. It was just a solid red light.
Sure.
You're like, okay, what does the sneaky government have now that they're using? You know, that's my first thought.
I've been in touch with Nostradamus for many years, and one of the things I remember he said was that this was written in Dolores Cannon's book called Conversations with Nostradamus back in the late 80s. And in these books where Dolores Cannon psychically and her students went back to talk to Nostradamus back in the 15th, 16th centuries, he said that we would shift into the fifth dimension by the year 2038. Well, by 2005, that date had shifted up to like 2028, 2029, 8 or 9 year difference, where we were progressing spiritually faster than he predicted back in the late 80s. And since that time now, parts of the planet are shifting into the fifth dimension this year, next week, at Mount Shasta. I mean, it's coming rapidly. So we've made tremendous spiritual advancement. That was in my book I published a couple of years ago called Messages from the Masters. It has messages from Nostradamus, President Kennedy, and other great masters. By the way, for people listening today, it's being translated into Spanish. And if you want a copy, the Spanish copy is not available, but should be done in a couple of months. If you want a copy, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. It's just $20, includes a free reading with that. But anyway, the point from Nostradamus is that we are spiritually progressing much, much faster than even he and the other great spirits thought possible a couple decades ago.
Yeah, I could see that. I can absolutely see that. It's almost as if time is accelerating, but it's really our perception of time. And because of this high frequency, this is what I saw not too long ago, you know, about a week ago, the vibration is vibrating so high that we were somehow connecting with a higher dimension. And what I was shown was the 12th dimension, which is really interesting to me because, you know, I just assumed we're going up the fifth dimension. But what I was shown was the 12th dimension, that the planet and the Earth was at times spiking up to the 12th dimension. And this is what we were talking about earlier. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my
gosh. I think tied into the Schumann resonance. I know we talked about this before we got on air. And these spikes allow these doorways or these frequencies to increase so high that we actually reach the 12th dimension. And so I was shown this very clearly, and I said, wow, this is really interesting.
And
I just, you know, took it for what it was, and that was it. But
Sure. Well, I'm on the website you recommended that I go to, Joe, called www.spaceweather.com. And for those of you who do have a computer, you might want to go there. It's www.spaceweather.com. And you said to get for the latest Schumann residence, whereabouts is that located on the website?
Well, the spaceweather.com, they do all kinds of articles, but today, exactly, you'll look at the middle, it'll say a global magnetic anomaly.
Okay, I see
now,
that.
This is part of it. You know, here's all this high-tech equipment that we have, and they couldn't detect this. All of a sudden, there's a spike.
Oh,
as you can see here, the magnetic field's just skyrocketed up out of nowhere.
Exactly. I see that. Okay. Yeah, I do see that, the gyrations. Yeah, I do see that.
Right. Now, the Schumann residence, I found some of it on Heart Math Institute or heartmath.org. And they have a chart in the middle of the page. If you go to the heartmath.org and put in Schumann residence, there's an article or a graph in the middle of the page. Between June the 7th and June the 15th, the Schumann residence has been spiking.
Interesting.
And they show you. And I wish I could find that other chart that I saw a couple of days ago. I didn't save it, but it was showing me just in this week alone that the residence was peaking at these high levels, unseen before. It was just tremendous. So,
do you remember the numbers?
I think it was something around almost close to the 100 mark. You know, I mean, really high.
Right.
So yeah, it was just it was so strange. And then why is that important, Ted, is because when this energy spikes, our bodies cannot handle it. We start feeling tired, confused, irritable, cranky, whatever you call it, because we're not built to handle that kind of frequency. It's like us going into a microwave oven and then turning it up another notch, you know?
Right.
It's just not, you know, at this level, we can't handle it. So this would explain some of the things that are happening to people and losing their marbles or sense of reality, too.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I think it's important to stay grounded and spend time in nature so that Mother Earth can help you with that. Judy Kelly, a wonderful psychic from the Los Angeles area, she told me, I think it was a year or two ago, to get extra, like take a supplement green powder, vegetable supplements, because your body needs chlorophyll to adjust to these new vibrations. They're very high. And one of the things that Nostradamus told me, he said that we will be changing our diet with these new higher vibrations. We will get away from meat and become more plant-based, and we won't need to eat as much as we do now because we're getting a lot of energy or prana just from the sunlight and the planet itself, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. That absolutely makes perfect sense because we've all been noticing our diets are changing or we can't eat as much, or maybe it's just me, but I have noticed that absolutely without a doubt. I don't feel like I need as much food and pushing away from meats and stuff like that. Not that I'm a big meat eater, but, you know, I just feel more of the vegetable and natural foods, you know, which makes perfect sense.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've heard of people actually who live off prana. There's one gentleman I heard about a couple months ago in Tokyo, Japan, who doesn't eat. I think he drinks fluids, but doesn't eat anything. And he said that he just lives off the energy of the planet.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I could see that. Sure. I mean, that's very possible.
Let me, if you don't mind, let me ask you an out of this world question, if I may, Joe. Let's say, let's go ahead 50 years or 100 years. Can you use your astrological techniques to look into the future that far ahead? And what do you see, if anything?
Sure. But I haven't really gone that far out, to be honest with you. I try and keep it within a few years because that's realistic, you know.
Okay.
But
if we're
to go out that far, we're looking at a total space, you know, space-oriented society. Where craft are flying in and out of here from different races, and maybe we're traveling to other planets. That's the kind of society we have. It's no longer, you know, about your job, your 9-to-5 job, or any of that stuff. It's about, you know, growing your own food and helping others and helping animals. And there's more of an evolved mindset in those time frames. This idea of war is not going to be around anymore. You know, we're seeing all these old systems die, and they will die out, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Because once you start understanding who you are and how there's many, many different forms of life out there, you know, that obviously doesn't look like us, and many do, why fight? Why argue? Your needs are being met. You know, you have what you need. You have the essentials of life. You have water. You have clean water. You have food. You have people that you really care about in your life, and more evolved souls and spirits giving you all kinds of knowledge and understanding of how the world works. Why would we need anything else after that? You know, it's almost as if we're going to graduate to such a high level of understanding that, you know, the need to create chaos will not be there anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I see even more peace and more fulfillment on a deeper level. You know, and I think traveling to other planets and dimensions and galaxies will be something that'll be normal, and that's just maybe 50 years away.
Well. It wasn't you, but it was someone else who told me that the period, Joe, between 2015 and 2030. Will be one of the most tremendously changing times in human history, and all of all those years, this year is the most is the year with the most changes, and toward the end of the year is the like the pinnacle of is the peak of it. So the next 6 months we should be in for quite a ride. Just hold on and hang on to your seats, I guess.
Exactly. Now, of course, I do an overview each year of what I see coming, and I just touched upon it briefly for 2021. And let's just look at the numerology right away. What is 2021 in numerology? It's a five.
Right.
Okay, so if you understand what five is all about, five is about sudden changes, sensation-oriented. But five is also associated with money. So, again, I'm saying something to do with the financial system is going to be huge by the end of this year into the new year. You could expect changes in so many areas of our lives, okay? And, of course, you know, if you're not ready for it, it's going to shock you. So many of those souls are going to have to adapt. But I see a lot of changes coming to our physical bodies, like you're saying about the food and changing our diets and maybe the food production. We know that's been changing dramatically as well because of the virus. And I think we're going to see changes in leadership in terms of the political scene. I think we're going to see some major changes happening there or some major shakeups there, let's put it that way. And so anything sensation-oriented is going to be huge in 2021. And humanity begins to really awaken much more in 2021. So there's a there's a technology component to 2021 as well. So maybe the computing systems will start to go up and, you know, new systems are introduced or some more advanced technology gets introduced. So this is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I see later this decade, after 2025 into 28 and 30, the development of organic-based computers, which will rely upon water as a way to store and communicate with and do the same things we do now with you know, like third-dimensional computers, but they will be really a fifth-dimensional computer based upon water, and there'll be something based upon H2O3, H2O12, H2O8. You'll have layers of different of cells, which will be far more efficient storage-wise, and they'll be alive compared to our current systems. I do see that coming. Yeah, I do see that.
And whatever it is, technology is going to be huge.
Right. You know. Right. Yeah. So
I don't think we've even scratched the surface yet.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. I had a fellow on my show a couple of years ago named Matias Di Stefano from Argentina, and a young man, about 29, 30 years old or so, and he had vivid, detailed memories of what life was like 15,000 years ago in Atlantis, and he talked about organic computers, organic water-based computers in this H2O12, H2O8 structure, water structure. And one of the things he said is that when Atlantis imploded upon itself 12,500 years ago, these water-based computers also just kind of fell apart. I mean, the Atlantis itself fell apart, went underneath the ocean. And so all these computers also got waterlogged. And he said it was kind of like throwing a bunch of books around where all these books were suddenly scattered everywhere. But that information, he also said, is still there. And one day, someday, humanity will be able to access that information to understand Atlantis fully, because that information is still there, but it's in the Atlantic and Mediterranean oceans.
Interesting. Wow, that is very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Lemurians who live underneath Mount Shasta, who I'll be seeing next week, they tell me that they use organic-based, amino acid-based computers, where the amino acids themselves are used as a storage unit. They said they're even more reliable, and they can store more information even than the water-based computers. It's like a quantum leap. We have our machine-based computers, and then once people, our scientists, discover the advantages of organic-based computers, that'll be a quantum leap. And with water, and then once that's done, there'll be another quantum leap to to organic-based, amino acid-based computers. And then you started getting, then you start getting into whole questions of what is life and artificial intelligence, and at what point does artificial intelligence become no longer artificial?
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. So it opens up some say a Pandora's box, but it's a path that we're just starting to investigate now.
Well, Ted, isn't Elon Musk talked about this just in recent times about, some sort of artificial intelligence, humans interacting with an artificial intelligence?
Well, the problem with that is that there's two main groups here visit this planet in this part of the universe. One's good, one's bad. The good ones are called the Galactic Alliance of Interdimensional Free Worlds, and they're service to others, very benevolent, kind, loving. They are mostly human, not all, but mostly human, and we're seeded from them. The bad ones are called the Reptilians, and they're service to self, and they're warlike. And the problem with the Reptilians is that they're service to self, and they rely heavily upon AI. But they've twisted it so that it's service to self. They're cut off from source. They don't have any connection to God or the Supreme Being. So what they do in a self-service, warlike manner of conquest and extraction and resource extraction. Mm-hmm. So I'm not familiar with Elon Musk's work, but AI can be used good or bad. If it's used in a bad way, it's service to self so that you lose touch with God, the Supreme Being, because ultimately it all goes back to the creator, the entity who created this all. Mm-hmm. And if you lose touch of that, that's the problem with the Reptilians, is that they think they're the be-all and end-all of evolution in this universe, and there's nothing higher than them, which is false. So, but you have to be careful how you use artificial intelligence. It can be used for good or bad.
Sure, makes perfect sense. But unfortunately, that could be one of the things coming up, is this interaction with artificial intelligence.
True.
On some level, it's already here, and it may get enhanced even more. You know, it really, again, depends on the people who are running the show or guiding the show, so to speak, and which group is taking charge, because, if you investigate the origins of humanity, there's no doubt in my mind that we've been manipulated or genetically altered.
Right.
And in some way, because the evidence is overwhelming. So,
there is a slave species that the Reptilians altered many years ago, called the Orions. And at one point, the Orions came from the Pleiades, but they were genetically modified by the Reptilians with artificial intelligence to become a robotic slave species. Mm-hmm. They don't have emotions. One of the problems is that they can't live on this planet unless they've been trying to make this hybridized race between their own species and humans for many years now, but it's not successful because they cannot attach souls to these hybrid species they've created. And so I mean, that's in a way that's the kind of height of artificial intelligence, where you've got these entities, these biological entities, who are living, but because they're not tied to the creator or to God, they don't have a soul. So it makes an interesting question. And they are, by the way, they are a dying species. They suffer from what's called progenesis, which is a breakdown of the DNA. They clone themselves. That's how they replicate themselves. They don't use our techniques. So soon, one of these days, they will be gone because they will not be able to reproduce. And evolutionarily, they'll be at the end of their lifespan.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I researched as well. That many of these races become so evolved that their DNA changes so much that they can't reproduce anymore.
Right.
And that's, one of the examples is the Zeta Reticuli, the beings from the Zeta Reticuli were one of those races. And so what they decided to do is go back in time and genetically alter. themselves and a form of human in order they so they could reproduce, because they've lost all semblance of emotion, feeling, you know, and the need to reproduce. So there is that possibility in the future that if we're not careful, you know,
right.
to evolve so much that we don't need to reproduce children anymore or offspring.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
well,
you know,
we all need
technology.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we all need to remember that there is a supreme being out there. As my friend Albert Einstein has said to me many times, God doesn't play with dice. And we live in a deterministic universe where things are related and things happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. And there's basically a hidden hand to all of this. If you realize that, then you'll never lose track of your soul purpose. And you should always, when trying to find out your soul purpose, is to always trust your heart mind. There's people of the hollow mm-hmm. Zora and the hollow earth have told me that the heart mind is something like 2,000 times stronger than your logical mind. The logical mind is tied to the third dimension. We are now shifting
right.
into the fifth dimension. So people will have to learn to focus and use their intuition and their heart mind far more than they have in the past.
Oh, I would totally agree with that. That's absolutely
yeah.
correct.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's what's opening up for us is the heart and the higher vibration is all about the heart and the frequency because
right.
it
right.
knows.
Right.
So,
absolutely. Absolutely. Joe, we've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Oh, well, thank you, Ted. Well, I mean, you know, again, I tell everyone, remember who you are. And mm-hmm. constantly, on a regular basis, remember who you are. And it's important to surround yourself with reminders of that, you know, whether it's spiritual groups on social media sites, or if you live in a place where you have lakes and water and the natural resources of the earth, go there and just quietly meditate.
Right.
Understand the cycles. I mean, we're in tune with the cycles. You don't need astrology, but you know, you could pick up on your own of
right.
what's happening and the feelings you're getting and the sensations. And, of course, you could always meditate and ask the source. We are
right.
the, you know, in my opinion, we are the source. We are connected to the source. It's like
right.
we have this information at our disposal at any time. We just have to know how to access it. So
mm-hmm.
ask for guidance and do it in this way. Universe,
right.
higher consciousness, show me what I need to see that's important to me. Or
mm-hmm.
universe or higher consciousness, show me the near future and what I need to see. And when you do that, you're setting the wheels in motion for the information to come to you. And so it's important
mm-hmm.
to understand this. And it's important to align with the source, not worship it like many religions do, but
right.
get in alignment with it because you are the source. And
right.
so, you know, the more you understand that, the less you have to battle other people, you have conflict, you have issues. There's a calmness and a peace that overcomes you
right.
when you're in
right.
this alignment. So
one thing,
go ahead.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Joe. President Kennedy has told me over and over again that once humanity realizes that we all have the spark of the Creator, a supreme being within us, there will be true peace
mm-hmm.
in the world. Because if you hurt another person, you're just hurting yourself. So
right.
just, yeah. So anyway, it's always a good idea to do unto others as you would do unto yourself, because it all comes back to you ultimately.
Exactly. Exactly. And,
yeah.
and we're all
yeah.
connected. Whole
yeah,
universe
absolutely.
Is one big connection after another.
That's right. That's right, Joe. Joe, we're almost out of time, my friend. If you could give out your websites again so people could contact you.
Sure. It's planetswithin.com. And sign up for my newsletter. It's totally free. And josephpanthony.com. You know, and I put
okay.
out horoscopes each month and the newsletter.
Okay, good. And if you forget to put the P in there, you'll get a hairdresser in Delaware or something.
Exactly,
so,
right.
Well, Joe, thank you so much. You've added so much today, and I know everyone's really enjoyed listening to you. I just want to remind everyone I have a new online show out of the San Francisco Bay Area. I hope you can listen and enjoy it. I broadcast on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific time. And to access it, you just go to BBS Radio, that's boyboysamradio.com, and click on the purple button for BBS Radio Station 1 anytime. from 10 a.m. to 12 noon tomorrow. And tomorrow at 11 a.m., I'll be having QAnon on. It should be an interesting show. Anyway, Joe, thank you so much. And I know if we all work together, we can and will make this earth and world a better place. Thanks, Joe. Have a beautiful weekend. And thanks for coming on my show.